For this gardening session, first I want to talk about a friend of mine. Her name is Mitzi McCollum. She and I worked together on a couple of different projects to make whole landscape setups for a couple of different homes. She just recently passed, and in honor of her, I'm going to go through some of her ideas and some of my ideas on gardening. We first talked about this when COVID came in, when the pandemic came in. So we started figuring there's a lot more people that were coming. She worked at a nursery and had more and more people coming during the pandemic wanting to learn for the first time just how to grow their own produce. I mean, let's face it, folks. Nothing beats the taste of homegrown veggies and fruit plucked from your own well-tended tree or from your garden. Whether it's sun-ripened tomatoes for your salad, or it's homegrown peppers if you want to put them on your pizza or make poppers. Basil leaves whisked into homemade pesto, one of the best things I think I ever remember learning to make from my mom. Rosemary, you can grow it anywhere. I use it sometimes, believe it or not, to flavor lemonade. It sounds strange, but you should try it. What an interesting flavor. The benefits of gardening are more than worth your time and your effort. As a matter of fact, it's more than that. You get to be healthier. You're out exercising. You're in the sun. You're out where it's wide open. And you get the benefits of literally getting to eat your own bounty. So here I'm going to try to answer, I guess, some of the questions that I got most often. What gardening tips I might share and recommendations to grow the best vegetables in your small local garden, fruits and herbs. Pretty much anywhere you live, you have to adjust, where my show goes a lot of places now, a little bit of where you are on the continent. But once you do, it's just a matter of moving forward or backwards the planting times and things. But the concept is generally the same for most everywhere that I reach right now. Let me begin by giving you sort of a general one sentence that goes for most anything you might want to garden. To have a successful and healthy garden, first, remember, Organiacs, folks, we do organic work. You must add organic material and work it thoroughly into the soil. Whether you use coconut coir, peat moss, compost, composted manures are all excellent and can be added at a rate, just in general, to make your own garden, about one part of good organic material to every three or four parts of a good, decent soil. As your garden begins to grow, you add more organic foods to optimize the yields. You'll see the levels of the soil slowly go down as you grow, and you just add back a good, finished, composted organic material. Folks, anyone can be really a successful gardener. My secret is find yourself a really good nursery or a place where you're buying your plants with someone that has a little knowledge, and they will have at their nursery. Unlike some of the big box stores, folks, I'm not picking on the Home Depots or the Lowe's, but they kind of buy from general giant, I guess the word is, plant growers that don't always hit right in the little micro niche where you may be. I mean, I live in the hill country right now of Texas, and the exact same garden I grow here, I would plant slightly different if I were just an hour south of me or an hour and a half on the other side of San Antonio, Texas. It's a whole, but those nurseries in each area will have a general idea of what tomato grows the best, what cucumber, what cabbage. So number one is, if I have to give you a general statement, get the right plant for the right place. Even though it's June, folks, you can still plant a few things from seed. Cantaloupes will do fine. Certain cool season grapes, southern pumpkins, winter squash, and watermelon can still go. Peppers and tomatoes can do well if the plants are available. You might have put a little sunshade over them in some of these real southern parts of where I reach. Starting in July, you can bring in, believe it or not, you start to bring in your fall crop for your tomatoes, but you will need to provide shade for them for the first few weeks of July and into August, and then you can remove that shade cloth once they get really their root system going and they begin to want to produce for the early fall. Another question I got pretty often is, can I plant in containers? Yes. You can grow great tomatoes and peppers if you can get a 5-gallon or larger container. Think of that, about 5 gallons of soil or a little bit bigger. Your plants will require a little bit more of a daily watering because of the limited amount of soil they're in. And of course, you know, depending on the weather, I can't tell you water every day, every other, every fourth day. It all depends on how dry was it that day. Did it get 95 degrees or 65? Did it rain? Was it high humidity or low? I call it the finger test. Take your index finger, go to your pots, put your finger into the first joint. And it doesn't much matter whose finger you're using, just so you do. And if it's dry and not any moisture at the tip of your finger, it's time to water. And my recommendation, especially for tomatoes and peppers, that seems to be a couple of the biggest crops everybody wants to grow, is when you water thoroughly, and you don't water again till the plant needs it. You can't hardly water too much when you water, but you can certainly water too often. And I guess one of the questions I get next most often before my tomato and pepper questions are herbs. Yes, herbs can do fine in containers. A lot of them do better in the ground because a number of them are perennials. Most herbs are fast growing, so allow plenty of space. My favorites are thyme and oregano, rosemary, basil. They're popular because they're evergreen. Many herbs are also naturally, if you happen to be in the wrong area, naturally deer resistant. In most areas where this show reaches, we get pretty hot summers. So when do you start fall crops? Remember, in this part of the country, you can actually do gardening year-round. Fall crops can be started from seed middle to late August. There's a few things like tomatoes you can put in sooner again if you shade cover them, but plan to provide protection from what I call the brutal hot late summer weather for at least about 6 weeks from the time you put them in the ground. Then come about mid-September, if you really want to put a good, what I call winter, but a fall garden in mid-September, it's time to put in your cabbages, your cauliflowers, your Brussels sprouts, broccolis, mustard, kale, spinach, all of those greens that we all love so much, Swiss chard, all go in and will go right into really, really, at least into the deep winter if you really get cold weather where you are. Some will go right through even almost the coldest of weather. I saw kale come through the coldest winter we've had here in a long, long time. And finally, for those of you that are in love with the garlics and the alliums like I am, I wait to hold those into the middle of October, depends on exactly how south you are, maybe even into November. And that's when you plant them if you want your late spring crops to really be nice, big, full bulbs. I use hardnecks. I use 3 or 4 different garlics that have slightly different flavors. Some are stronger than others. Even though elephant garlic, believe it or not, is really not a garlic, I happen to like it. I love its mild flavor. Not a bad time to put in leeks. And finally, if you like the really mild onion flavor, don't forget to try a half dozen or so shallots. It really is a different aroma, and even though it is an allium and it's onion-like, it adds some unique flavor to a number of dishes. Hope that gives you some thoughts on getting ready or doing even a summer garden and certainly into a fall garden. And as a final, I just want to thank my friend Mitzi for, I think, over 20 years over buddies. I certainly learned a lot from her over all that time. So thank you, Mitzi. Enjoy your gardening. I do want to add one thing here to just make it easier for you, especially if you're new into gardening. And this is my preferred method over years, and I've done some really big ground-level gardens, but I would have you consider for sure what they call raised bed gardening most everywhere you can hear, my Organic Matters radio show. One of the advantages of a built-up garden is the fact that you're not restricted by the environment you're living in. You can alter the soils. You can make it tall enough that you can work easily without having to bend over so far. There's an awful lot of it. You can deal with your own drainage and make it almost perfect in the way your water is put in and flows through to all of your plants. I may even overdo it a little bit because I do have some limited access from previous accidents, auto accidents and things. So I try to build mine up 18 inches or so. It doesn't have to be that deep, folks. You can do a ground level garden. You can do one 6 inches deep. But I take the time, spend the extra money to fill that whole thing first. If you really want to do some deeper plantings, for instance, some potatoes and some of that particular kind of crop, the deeper ground probably is an asset. For a number of plants, it doesn't have to be that deep. But once you get yourself a good stool or a good way to work, and it's 18, 20 inches tall, the effort to work on your garden is practically minimal. And at least one other thing that a built-up garden, raised beds, they call them, is so easy to work with, because we kind of overthink feeding plants. What we really should do, if you want a really healthy, especially vegetable garden, here's the sentence that makes it easier, and it'll kind of re-establish the way you think. Healthy soil promotes the processes of nutrient development and, of course, delivery of those nutrients to your plants. In other words, this one sentence will kind of give you a whole different idea of what you're really doing when you're gardening. Don't feed the plants. You feed the soil so the soil can feed and take care of the plants, both for its nutrients and even for its water sources. Good soil is a true necessity, and you're in total control of it if you're using raised bed gardens. And here's a quick rundown of how I put that soil together and another one of my podcast or my radio shows. I'll go into a little bit more detail. But in general, I put in about 30% really high quality, certified, broken down compost. You can make your own if you really, I never can make enough, so I have to go buy some. But there is a thing called the U.S. Composting Council, and they have a little sticker. And if it's on that bag, that has passed the test to tell you that's a completed, finished compost. To that, I add about 20% over organic materials. Those would be materials from broken down chicken manures, cow manures. I don't trust horse manure because horses don't as thoroughly digest, and there could be some herbicides. They use a lot of herbicides on hays that pass through the horse and end up still putting herbicides on your garden. You don't want that. And one way to check that is when you get your compost material, take a container of it, a regular flower pot. I happen to use mustard seeds, but find something that grows fast. Mustard's an ideal example. And before you get your garden even put together, put those seeds in that pot. Give them a week or 10 days. Give yourself a week. And it will show you if that soil is good or not. If it doesn't produce nice, bright little plants that come up with the little dicots on them, then you might consider another source for your really, really good organic materials. So that's sort of a small, quick gardening class for those of you that want to get into growing your own fruits and vegetables.